I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome. Potholes. I guess there are potholes everywhere again. All these heavy rains overnight.
Worst road conditions I can remember.
Well, but your gas taxes are going to fix them all. Big increase we got, what was that, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
Fixing all the roads.
Yeah.
Immediately. I heard an interview with a Caltrans guy or something to say, our crews are out there 24/7 looking around. If we get reports, we get there immediately.
We're looking around. Yeah.
Yeah, they're out. They have roaming crews that are out there 24/7.
Hey, look, the strip club's open early.
My friend complained actually about a pothole in front of his house, and they came and cleared it up. They filled it up.
What town?
Your friend in Los Angeles?
Right on Crescent Heights and Willoughby.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah, Crescent Heights and Willoughby.
Wow.
Yeah, he called, was on the phone with the city. They said, call the DWP. They said, call the city. He called the city again. They said, DWP said to call you back. And then they got it filled.
I like the runaround.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him.
That's Don't drag the show down with a positive story, Eric.
Well.
I called 311 about the pothole. I mentioned that the other day. And they said, well, it's going to take 5 to 7 business days. That's what I got.
So make it bigger by then.
I like the idea of business days for the pothole crew.
You got to scream that it's going to become a sinkhole if you don't get here. And then the city will be sued as 20 cars go in. Got to get dramatic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what's going on with the mountain people. We mentioned yesterday that we wondered if they were going to get some snow along with this rain. And let's find out more from Blake Trolley in San Bernardino. Where are you?
Yeah, I am in San Bernardino, guys. I was just listening to Eric's story, though, and I was so blown away by it. I think Eric's friend is the guy in Altadena who bought that lottery ticket.
Yeah, really.
Does he have connections?
It's not the experience of most people from what I'm hearing.
Is he related to some supervisor?
No.
I want an investigation.
So what's going on there?
Yeah, guys, so there is a storm that is set to move through tonight. There was a little bit of snow earlier today at about 5,500 feet. That snow level has since moved up, but it's going to really set in tonight, come down to about 4,500 feet. That's where snow's going to start accumulating. And this storm really just adds to the already long nightmare people living in these mountain communities have been going through. There are ongoing issues in the region as this snow, again, is set to move in tonight. Ice berms, which are like concrete, remain. These are nearly in impossible to remove at this point because they keep refreezing. My buddy said, yeah, people will chip away at them, but they're not really making a lot of progress. There's also snow on roofs. That's also become that stubborn ice. And for a lot of people, specifically the elderly, they can't get up on the roofs and get that ice off.
Yeah, that's so a bad idea.
And with all this added snow is coming possibly, you know, more issues, especially those structural issues, those roofs collapsing as they get weighed down more and more. I'm also hearing of a lot of and just, you know, seeing reports of just down trees. These trees are not only top heavy because they have ice sitting on them, but also the snow melt and rain has been compromising their root systems. So as these communities seem to continue on their endless battle against the elements, more snow is moving in. And you know, guys, there's kind of two main issues that county officials at this point in time are looking at. One, the roads getting absolutely messed up again. And then two, as I mentioned, the snow weighing down on roofs that have already been getting compromised. Supervisor Don Rao says the county at this point has told people to prepare to be stuck inside their homes.
We are messaging to people to be prepared to stay in their homes with appropriate food, water, blankets, sources of heat for up to 10 days.
Now, I want to get into the forecast over the next couple of days. Lake Arrowhead could get about 18 inches of snow. Running Springs, when we go over to that area, 65 inches of snow. Big Bear Lake, 50 inches. Crestline, of course, that community hit really hard.
Running Springs is like just a few miles down from Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah, it you know, it's crazy how these microclimates work. In fact, I was talking to my buddy today about the weather in Crestline, and he said you can actually go a few streets over in a lot of these communities, and just because of the way the elevation moves and just the way the microclimates move, the forecasts really change. So that's why you hear stuff like Running Springs getting 65 inches, Crestline getting 12 inches, Twin Peaks getting 18 to 20 inches. So it is really just one big kind of microclimate system. And again, as I mentioned, county officials are worried that people are going to get stuck again. Now, the county, guys, has taken action to prepare for this snow. I actually talked to somebody else up in the area who said they are seeing a very visible response. All county public works employees and on-call contractors have been activated for snow plowing, storm patrol. Engine crews from 10 different fire agencies are on standby. They put them all at a central location. Hand crews, bulldozers have been pre-positioned. Extra sheriff's deputies have been added for the next 2 weeks. And again, those deputies do a lot of outreach for stranded people. Again, the snow accumulation we're talking about is set to begin later this afternoon and really ramp up through the night into tomorrow. The county does say as well, as far as state help goes, it expects to get all the help that it needs. Now, guys, there is another issue, another potential challenge with all of this weather, and that is mud and debris flows. This is a concern in the El Dorado Burn Scar area. That fire happened in 2020. This is that mountainous area north of Beaumont. I'm sure you guys remember this fire. It was really famous. This was the gender reveal party gone wrong.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
That one. That one still haunts.
Still. After all these years, the kid's probably 3 years old now.
That blue smoke bomb still haunts. And so, anyways, there is a real concern right now, the threat of mud and debris flow. So the sheriff's department has put out an evacuation warning for a lot of the communities just north of that Beaumont area in that El Dorado area.
If you get this big mud and debris flow and it wipes out a bunch of houses, is that family still on the hook for the damage?
You know, I have to look into that. I was actually thinking about that myself. I was saying, I wonder if the consequences remain.
Right, because they got charged.
They caused it with the fire, charged, yeah. And now the fire led to a burn scar, which led to a mudslide.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
This is the most expensive gender reveal party in California history.
Right, Blake, did people buy a lot of stuff this time? Stock up
on
food?
You know, it's hard to say because I did not personally see anybody stocking up on food. And I've been trying all day, actually, unsuccessfully, to reach grocery store management to see if the grocery stores have stocked up any differently. So that's something I'm still working to figure out.
You know what? No excuse for this one. Because this was forecast several days in advance. You already went through hell. If you didn't get to the store and the pharmacy and get your medication and all your food, you can't complain. Or if you didn't, like, leave the mountain so that you don't get snowed in for 2 weeks. I mean, this is Darwinism now, if you didn't learn the lesson.
The sense I get is that everybody is over preparing, and that's including the county. I know when I spoke to the county, they said we're preparing for all of the highest amounts of precipitation, the worst elements of this snow that the National Weather Service has forecasted. So they are on call for, I guess, worst case scenario, you can say.
All right, Blake, thanks for the update.
All right, thanks, guys.
Blake Trolley, KFI News out in San Bernardino, keeping an eye on what's going on with the mountain people as this storm. Big break in this, but I guess there's another round coming. It was a kind of stopped raining near me by 10 a.m., and it's been kind of quiet for a few hours. But, yeah, there's more rain coming this afternoon into tonight.
I had the best night's sleep last night.
That's nice to know.
Rain is very soothing.
I find it nice, too. Sometimes if it's really windy and all the trees are rattling, it's not so great. But I like to hear the rain, too. So.
Still worried about the eucalyptus tree pointed at our house. But outside, my wife fled the bed last night.
Cut it down. Cut it down.
Yeah, I know.
John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio until 4 o'clock, 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, the podcast on the iHeart app. John and Ken on demand. You can listen to it anytime, 24/7.
You can also get it at KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page. The link is put up there for you easily right after the news at 4 o'clock. Well, we're going to keep an eye, of course, on the LA Unified School District strike, which began today. I actually saw a few of them out there with their signs. And the theme, John, is this. It's not about money. It's about respect. And I'm like, okay, then we respect you. Can we move on? That's what they have on their signs.
What I heard today? 58% of LA students not proficient in reading.
Oh, that's irrelevant.
71% not proficient in math. In a normal world, most of these people would be fired.
I just read that teachers union hack head, Cecily Myart-Cruz, or she said this after the pandemic ended and they went back to class. So what if they didn't learn their times tables? They learned resilience. That was one of her quotes.
Yeah, she is so crazy, and she's dangerous because she has so much influence. I don't know what happened to teachers. God, did they change over the years. They've all become these weird, like, fanatics. Like, they're in some kind of a cult. It's like, what are you talking about? You fail most of the kids you teach. They leave not knowing how to read very well and not knowing how to do basic math. Remember, we're not asking them to, memorize Shakespeare and do calculus here. This is the basic stuff of life.
They don't seem to care. It's more now about the social issues. They want more food and more housing.
They're getting taught about racism, diversity, equity, inclusion, climate change. That's what they're getting taught about. But as far as adding, subtracting, multiplying.
Reading
basic vocabulary. I don't know if you notice, but there's a lot of people who are incoherent when they talk. I mean, just and when they write, you can see this when you look at like social media pages.
Oh, yeah.
It's practically a different language.
I was thinking, who writes anymore? But I guess you have to post stuff.
Yeah, if you see what's posted.
Most people post really brief statements. But
they're incoherent.
They use text acronyms and stuff like that.
I'm telling you, they just don't know anything. Ask people who have to do hiring what they're getting. And then you bitch and complain that you got a low-paying grocery store job or you're cleaning toilets or you're lifting back boxes at Amazon. Well, it's because you never learned how to read or write or do math. And the reason you didn't is because of Cecily Myart-Cruz and her ilk. They don't want to teach it to you anymore. They have made the decision not to even try to teach you anymore. Think about that.
Well, we will bring you all this in a full update after the news at 2 o'clock. Including the Times interviewing another person who works the front lines in the cafeteria 16 years and she barely makes minimum wage. And I'm going to go back to what I said yesterday. It may not be politically popular to say, but decades of immigration, legal and illegal, have come to bear in Southern California with people who did not move up the economic ladder.
No.
Instead are taking jobs that are in their 30s, 40s and 50s, and they peaked skill level wise. At slashing plates in the cafeteria, handing out food. And I don't know if you can pay them a wage to buy a home, particularly the cost of living. But that's what they're asking for.
And their children are not getting taught anything useful by the LA Teachers Union.
Yeah, which means this is going to continue this cycle.
Right, right. And so they band together and demand that California become a full-on socialist nation like Venezuela.
All right. I thought, John, you would be interested in the latest snow numbers. We have now broken the 1983 record in California. 677 inches of snow has been recorded at the Central Snow Laboratory at UC Berkeley, their field research station at Donner Pass. I think I did this story a few weeks ago, the last time they took a measurement. They took another one yesterday, and it surpassed the 1980. So it's now in second place behind the 1952-1953 record. However, they don't think that one will be passed because traditionally, only 48 inches of snowfall comes between March 20th and the end of the season, which would put the count 7 feet short of 1952, where the number was 67.65 feet recorded
in
Donner Pass.
Well, it's going to be close.
But this year, right now, is at 56.44, and 1983 was 55.91. By comparison, the median snowfall at this time is only about 26 feet. So that shows you just how tremendous these storms have been in terms of precipitation.
You know what I heard
particularly
today?
Particularly in Sierra. Yeah.
We've had more rain. We've had almost three times as much rain as Seattle.
I wondered that because I've been joking with people that I feel like I live in Seattle. It's chilly mornings and rainy afternoons.
Well, Seattle's actually having a drier than normal year.
Oh.
But this year, since January 1st, they've had 7 inches. We've had 19. Now, their normal year to this point is 14. So we're still 5 inches above a normal Seattle year.
Yeah, well,
and three times their current total.
That makes the case for climate weirding, right? It's your carbon emissions that are causing climate weirding.
Yeah, right.
Traditional patterns are being upset. Yeah, because I always like that. Like, well, we're in a drought. Because of climate change. And it could go on for decades. Then it rains. It's like, oh, well, that's climate change too, because now it leads to excessive amounts of rain in a short period.
Somebody wrote a funny piece the other day about how the progressive crowd keeps coming up with new terms, especially when they run into a wall on the old terms, right?
Yeah.
You can't do global warming because you end up with winters like this, and clearly we're not warming. So, well, it's not global warming, it's climate change.
Right.
And then you point out all the records that were set 150 years ago. Well, no, it's global weirding. You know, no matter how many facts you point out that our climate is not doing anything that it hasn't done many times before, they just come up with a new term.
Yeah, we didn't pay attention to it decades ago, but we probably had these same stretches where it didn't rain for a couple of years and then it rained pretty heavily all at once. But it's like nobody took notice of it.
Because their real goal is to undermine capitalism, to undermine our modern way of life, and to undermine our power and status
and get
the
you
United
out of
States.
Your gas-powered car, right. John Cobell.
And to be a bunch of nanny bullies and tell you what to do. That's the real purpose of this. Because if you constantly change the parameters and you constantly change the terminology, what does that tell you? You know, they got to keep moving the football around so you don't quite catch up.
Here's the Mammoth Lakes snowfall, 210. The previous record for this time of the water year at Mammoth Lakes was only 125 inches. So look at how far above that is from the previous record for this date, which is mid-March. That is unbelievable.
I'm sure it's happened many times before we settled in California and started keeping records in the 1870s, but it's a pretty good stretch to go 150-odd years and have the snowiest, wettest year.
They've been seeing a four-fold increase in total area snowfall greater than 50 feet in recent weeks. Although I saw today, now, Pineapple Express is okay, John. Atmospheric River, you banned, but Pineapple Express is
Pineapple
real.
Pineapple Express I liked. I thought that was funny.
The Bay Area is getting hit with a Pineapple Express.
Uh-huh.
We have the atmospheric river, but they have the pineapple. Isn't that usually because it's like a warmer thing that comes in or something?
It comes from the Hawaii area.
Oh, okay. It's rather than from the Alaskan.
That's why pineapples.
Oh, okay. But I thought what came with it was usually a warmer.
Yeah, that too.
Sort of temperature pattern with it. Yeah, so they're getting a lot of rain up in the Bay Area, too. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We'll delve deeper into the LA Unified School District strike. It's not about the teachers, but they have walked out in sympathy of the cafeteria workers, the custodians, the bus drivers, the support people represented by SEIU Union in their demands for at least a 30% hike in pay. But it's not about money. I heard the leader of the union say it's about respect.
They're so silly. You're not fooling anybody. Oh, by the way, I'm going to say this every day. This is an entirely a racist attack on the children. Over 80% of the kids are poor minority kids, and they can't go off to a suburban school that's not on strike, and they can't go off to a parochial school. They don't have school choice. They can't move to a charter. They can't homeschooling, for example. They can't go to a private school, certainly. They don't have the money for any of this, right? They can't move. They can't go to a private school. Parents have to work. They can't do homeschool. And this is affecting largely minority students. I mean, clearly, this is not equity here.
Equity, yeah, good one.
This is not equity.
No, it is not equitable nor equity. All right, we'll talk about all this with a couple of other stories attached to it in the 2 o'clock hour. I'm sure you're all wondering if we're bracing, because the Times loves that word. They put it in every story. Bracing.
Are we reeling?
We're not reeling. You brace first, and then I guess after you get hit with whatever the story is, right, you reel.
And if you're not braced properly,
so bracing means, yeah, it's like an earthquake's coming, you gotta hold on. It's about Trump. Now, the word we hear now is he will not be arraigned this week. However, there may be an indictment tomorrow. Now, you've heard that old joke, you can indict a ham sandwich.
Yes.
It's a group of Manhattan residents and a grand jury who have been listening to the case being made by the Manhattan District Attorney to charge Trump with a felony for what was really a misdemeanor. I mean, we've talked about this before, but it was a payout to Stormy Daniels, who apparently has made movies that include The Witches of Brestwick and Porking with Pride, too. It's quite a resume of films. I'd forgotten about Karen McDougal. Trump allegedly had an affair with her. She's a former Playboy playmate. But he paid the Inquirer, the National Enquirer, to kill the story. But this time, with Stormy Daniels, he used his dopey attorney, Michael Cohen, to pay her off. $160,000 of the game.
So he wrote it down as paying Michael Cohen when really he was paying Stormy Daniels. And he also hid the Michael Cohen money amidst other payments to Michael Cohen, right? It was buried inside a larger check, and then they paid it out in installments. So clearly he was covering up the payout to Stormy Daniels. I don't see the crime here.
I'm looking at more and more columnists who are not exactly pro-Trump are kind of saying the same thing. Plus the fact that even if it is, it's like a misdemeanor.
And
people are rarely charged for this. Making this a felony is definitely overboard. That seems to be the consensus here.
Well, it's a paperwork crime. And I guess you could fine him if you're that obsessed with it. I mean, he's got the money to pay the fine, and it's not going to stop him from doing it again. So I don't see the point of that. But the thing is, the statute of limitations may be passed on the misdemeanor. So he's trumping it up to a felony because the statute of limitations may still be open on that. There's a lot of maze here because every analysis I read, nobody really understands it. And it's like, well, maybe, you know, if you look at it a certain way. And so the crime may be that he was trying to cover up a contribution from himself to his own presidential campaign, because the Stormy Daniels story would hurt his campaign. Well, and that is really a stretch and a twist and a leap, isn't it?
Hmm.
That you're looking at the payoff of the payoff of Stormy Daniels to be a campaign contribution.
I mean, yeah,
you know, if you're an anti-Trump fanatic, this is something you do, and Bragg certainly is. But you know, the other investigations of him are much firmer ground.
Oh, the Georgia thing.
The Georgia thing, he was
searching to find votes.
Yeah, clearly he had secret documents at his Mar-a-Lago house.
Yeah, one doesn't impress me, but...
No, it's
so
not.
Did Biden. So does like a billion other people now. Pence, everybody has them. You going to go after everybody?
And the thing is, they've never indicted a president before. And I was listening today to some historians, and the reason you generally don't want to indict a president is because they have a difficult job. They got to make a lot of decisions. And if they constantly have to be worried that they're going to get sued or tried for decisions that they made in good faith at the time that somehow didn't look good or didn't work out years later, that's not what you want.
No.
You want a guy feeling confident that he can do what he has to do in that time.
So whatever happens, it'll be a circus, because if they announce tomorrow there's an indictment, what they're going to do next is reach out to the Trump people and try to arrange for him to surrender in New York. He's usually in Florida at Mar-a-Lago or somewhere traveling the campaign for president. So the question is, when? And then will he do that? Will he actually come to New York City and have the big media moment where he gets arraigned, fingerprinted,
what I heard is
and posed for a mugshot?
They're probably going to do it quietly. He's going to show up at a back door. He's going to be led to the chambers.
But the media will get onto that. They'll monitor every door.
Right. Well.
And what about the Trump mob?
There's ways to do it, because what you can do is you cordon off all the blocks around the courthouse and you take him into an underground elevator garage, and then you have him booked and photographed. It eventually will be released, you know, the mugshot. And then he'll plead not guilty in court, and they'll set a date somewhere down the road for a trial. But it doesn't have to be this handcuff. You do the perp walk. You do it.
No, but that would be fun.
It would be.
And I'd love the anti-Trumpers to show up and face off with the pro-Trumpers. You know, they could be yelling, lock him up, while the other side is like drain the swamp or something like that.
Well,
that'd be quite a moment.
And
people are going to show up anyway, just trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Supposedly there's already deep fake videos of Trump being arrested. They're fake videos that are being circulated.
It's easy to do.
No, but I heard some of the Trump people online have been grousing that don't go, because this is a trap by law enforcement to arrest us all, because they want further vengeance for January 6th.
They say that about everything. Everything is a false flag. Everything is a trap. I don't know what it's like to live in the mind of one of these guys. Can you imagine? You're crazy angry about everything. You think there's all kinds of conspiracies going on. And finally, one of your buddies says, well, let's do something about it. Let's go to New York and let's defend Trump and protest and free him. Well, I don't know. False flag. Oh, I don't know. Could be a trap. We'll end up getting... Okay, well, let's sit home and do nothing and drink beer.
Now, in a new service story, the only other president to actually be arrested, because presidents have been impeached, but this would be different, is Ulysses S. Grant, who apparently was speeding in his buggy, his horse-drawn buggy, 151 years ago. He got a ticket.
His horse was going too fast?
Yes. Yes.
And they...
1872, the horse-drawn carriage was stopped less than a mile from the White House, and he was cited for speeding.
Was he president at the time, or...?
I don't think he was. 1872? I don't know. I have to look that up. Well, maybe he was. Yeah.
So they actually arrested
you for... President or former president. None has ever been arrested. Right. So that's right. The precedent here.
I see. Yeah, right. Well, I mean,
lawsuits, there have been impeachments.
If you're going to do this, it should be something really big, not paying off a porn actress.
I know.
This is really stupid. It shows you the only thing nuttier than Trump are the people who hate him.
Oh, yeah.
And he always gets bailed out. He ends up looking good because the people who chase him are crazier than he is.
And he was president. He was president from 1869 to 1877. This happened in 1872. So he was president at the time he got the ticket.
So they pulled over his horse and buggy.
For speeding, yeah. Hey, people can get hurt. Horses can kill you.
By the way,
he was only 5'8".
What I hear is the LAPD is, and LAPD, the NYPD is working with the Secret Service to make this a minimal event. Because the Secret Service are in charge of keeping Trump safe.
But this is historic. So the media is going to want to cover it. And, of course, many mob members might want
to. I know, but they're not entitled to. Well, they might have to cover it and protest from two blocks
away. It's part of the public domain, the whole judicial system, is it not? I mean...
There's no obligation to create a riot.
Everybody's so nervous that there's going to be
a
repeat of January 6th or some kind of
crazy
chaos.
Well, that took everybody by surprise. So everybody always fights the last war.
That's right. So this time they're going to over-prepare. All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, so 420,000 students are out of school as we have a massive strike that has shut down the Los Angeles Unified School District, already a stinking mess and a failure to the point that we're seeing that they now want to just eliminate testing, like standardized testing. They don't want anybody to know. And then, you know, when they do just testing in the school, it's like, well, just everybody passes. People try. It's a good effort. Get the kids through. They need the self-esteem and they need the lift to go on in life and end up in dead-end jobs, probably. So this is all about the bus drivers and the cafeteria workers, the custodians. It's the service people behind the scenes at the school district who are actually on strike, but the teachers walked out in sympathy. And it is supposed to be 3 days. They announced that would be it. It would only last 3 days. We'll find out what the latest is and whether or not there's any talks, any movement. Last I heard, the union wants a 30% salary increase plus $2 more per hour for the lowest paid employees. This is the guy I heard, Max Arias, executive director of SEIU Local 99. He's the one that said, it's not about money. It's about respect.
No, this teacher's crowd really hates the kids, don't they? I mean, screwed them over for a year and a half, and now added 3 more days of a kick in the pants. And they know that the parents are beside themselves because most of the parents have to work, and there's no child care for the kids. I mean, it's amazing what they do to defenseless children. Many of them don't even speak English. All of them are poor. Practically. I mean, it's like 80%+ rate of poor minority kids. And this is how they're treated by these union leaders.
Well, look what idiots showed up today to join the striking workers. Adam Schiff, who's, of course, running for U.S. Senate, the Feinstein seat. So.
He's such a jackass. He's making these kids' lives and the parents' lives even more difficult. Instead of standing up and telling the teachers off for the greed bags they are, for the cruel, nasty people that they are, he's standing in support. I'm a God almighty, is the world upside down? Isn't it upside down? Would you think there'd be one politician like Bassetti? Why isn't she speaking up for the kids? Is somebody on the city council, the supervisors, the governor, anybody speaking up for the kids? No, they don't care.
They believe that the teachers and the workers are paid a fair wage, the kids will get a better education. Because everybody will be motivated.
But they don't. 58% can't read at level.
Well, because they're underpaid. They want to get more money so they get respect.
Because they're underpaid?
Guys.
Because the lunch slop workers are underpaid?
All right, so we'll get into this coming up after the news at 2 o'clock. Yesterday, we told you that a couple of the major pharmaceutical companies are preparing for a bird flu vaccine. Now we have a fungus. And John, this one, why do they always seem to come from Asia? This one's coming from Japan. Candida auris, a fungus discovered about 15 years ago in Japan, has infected over 2,400 people in the U.S. last year. In 2016, the number was only 53. So it's multiplying. It isn't at horrific levels, but it is spreading quickly into most states, also around the world. More than 40 countries have reported this particular fungus. The first documented infection in the U.S. was in 2013. A lot of it was, so far, has been limited to the New York City and Chicago areas.
Where is this, in the hospitals?
I think it's in the and sometimes it's in like the rest homes where people have compromised immune systems.
This fungus has a 60% mortality rate.
That's what's a bit troubling about this one, right?
60%? Jeez, you shouldn't go in the hospital.
Apparently, like these things do, it's mutating. One expert said patients are becoming colonized with this organism and it's becoming smarter than we are.
That's not hard.
If you are familiar with HBO's series The Last of Us, based on a video game, that's what's happening. There is a fungus that's spreading and turning people into zombies. They actually have like fungus stuff growing out of their mouth and their ears and stuff. It's kind of cool looking.
There's only three antifungal drugs that can be used, all of which have toxic side effects. Oh, great. So you die from the drugs if you don't die from the fungus.
Wow. They think that widespread use of disinfectants and antifungals on crops might have allowed this one to thrive by killing off microbial competitors.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, like, you know what? I remember we talked about this during the panic over COVID. If you are constantly disinfecting and killing all the germs in the world, the germs are going to mutate and become superbugs. Same way that if every mommy keeps giving antibiotics every time a kid has a virus.
Right.
Eventually,
they told us about that. And they told us, too, if we keep using hand sanitizers,
yeah,
bacteria will make their way through that.
That's true. You create.
Well, I tell you, then we really went over the top during the pandemic. Everybody was using hand sanitizers 50 times a day. So.
Oh, yeah. It's going to come back to kill us. Even bleach and alcohol aren't always effective against Candida auris.
Candida auris.
That's the name of the fungus.
Which can colonize your skin. That just sounds weird. Deep cleaning and special disinfectants can destroy the spores. Oh, it sounds like they implant themselves in you. I guess so.
Yeah. Huh? It infects the bloodstream or any wounds or organs, and then you're done.
Common symptoms, fever and chills.
Who knew this? Fungal infections kill over 1.5 million people a year.
Yeah, they're probably in countries we pay no attention to.
There's a nonprofit called Global Action for Fungal Infections.
Oh, no. Pfizer and some other companies, Synexis, are developing drugs that have shown in clinical trials to be effective against Candida auris. See, they're already on top of this.
Don't go to hospitals.
They unleashed this on us just so they could come up with the cure. That's how it always works, John. Follow the money.
Was this another? This was Japan, you said, right?
Yeah, this started in Japan.
So another Chinese Communist Party import, I
have. Right. So they have submitted their drug, Rezafungin. That's a great name, Rezafungin, to the FDA for approval to treat Candida infections, including Candida auris.
Wow.
It would be the first new drug for the treatment of this Candida infection in over a decade.
It's like all the viruses and bacteria and funguses are taking revenge against the human
race.
This
is end times. It really is.
Yeah, because we spent so much time trying to kill them for centuries, and now they're coming back.
And I think the pattern is, like, they don't do anything until eventually something mutates to a level where it kills us all. It's just going to happen. It may be 20 years from now, but don't you think?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, the massive school strike, which has got kids out of school for 3 days. Parents, I don't know what. You can get the food, though. they are handing out the lunches, three meals that the kids can pick up for the 3 days. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.